You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we're happy, thrilled even, that you're making us part of your regular routine. We're still here for you every week, a few times a week, hopefully, when there's something to talk about, and today there is, because Team USA has had a number of defections, and it's basically, seemingly, going to be the Boston Celtics in Team USA uniforms. We'll talk about that. We'll do a special segment on birthdays later on, which is kind of fun. And it's going to be me, John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by the kid, Jay King, of The Athletic, fresh off a men's league game.
Where I was trash. So trash.
It sucks. It sucks when it goes away. Just sucks. Not going away for the Boston Celtics, who are involved in Team USA. In fact, Marcus Smart now joining Team USA. He's been invited and seems thrilled. He tweeted about it, saying that he takes it serious and blessed to be even thought of, and it means everything to him. So Marcus Smart is joining, apparently, Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker, who both seem like locks to make the team. Jay, let's start with this. Are you happy about this many Celtics? Maybe even Jaylen Brown, who's supposedly on the shortlist. Do you think this is a good thing that these guys are out there playing for Team USA?
I don't know. I think some years, like, it'd be a really great experience to go to Team USA camp and get to play every day against all-time greats. This year, the Team USA training camp isn't going to be that. Kemba Walker may be the best player there. Chris Middleton, Damian Lillard, and Kevin Love, I think, are on the fence, reportedly. So it's not like you're going and learning habits from LeBron James and or Kobe Bryant, or like guys who can really teach a generation how to approach the game off the court, how to go about the work off the court. I'm sure the other guys in training camp probably have good habits too, but it's different when you're playing against, you know, lower tier all-stars versus all-time greats. I assume it's probably a good experience. It's definitely an honor for those guys to be chosen to at least participate in training camp. In Kemba's case, I'm sure he'll make the team. Tatum, a lot of wings have dropped out, so he looks like he's got a pretty good chance of making the roster. Marcus Smart, who knows? But yeah, I think overall it's probably a good experience to go out there and get reps. And like, it's not often during the summer that guys will be able to get real reps of working on the right things and working on, you know, team-oriented concepts. And I think, especially with the case of Kemba coming in, getting at least a couple guys a chance to work with him and get to know him a little bit and learn his game and learn how to play with him, that's probably all good.
Yeah, I think that having Kemba and Marcus and Jaylen, or if he goes, and Tatum, like if all four guys go, then I'd rather have four guys make it than one guy make it. I'd rather have the four guys, at least they can go out there and build some chemistry, because, you know, they're going to be out in Vegas, so they'll be out having fun too. But then they go to Australia, then they go to China, and there's not going to be, much to do besides play basketball and talk basketball. So that'll almost be like a mini bonding experience. It's not going to be the whole team, but it's going to be enough of them. So I think it's good in that regard. I can see a negative in that they're being asked to go to China and basically the entire month of August, which is they'll be ramping up their workouts and all that stuff, but still the entire month of August into the beginning of September, they'll be playing this competitive basketball. And then like a week later, training camp starts. So it does take them away from their normal routine, and it does kind of put a little bit more intense kind of, basketball in their routine rather than whatever workouts they're going through, and takes them halfway around the world. And so I don't know how that's going to impact them. I can see that argument, but I like
these dudes are young, man.
Yeah. I think it's fine. I like the idea of them going and playing for Popovich for a month and getting like that exposure to him and seeing kind of like another coaching style and a guy that is very close to Brad Stevens and has Brad Stevens' respect. So working with him, working under him and learning something new, I think it's going to be great. And for guys like Tatum and Brown, especially as they're developing, another taste of a different brand of basketball. Maybe they can learn some different things. They can say, oh, I can add this to my game. I don't think that's a bad thing either.
Yeah, they are. And I think just getting to know each other, rebuilding the vibe around the Celtics from, okay, this last year it stunk, but now this is a fresh start. Let's go hang out with Kemba. Let's get really excited about the season. And let's enjoy our time on Team USA, and let's maybe try to win a gold medal. And I'm sure that'll be interesting too. That'll be productive too. So I don't think there's really a downside to it at the age of these guys. The fact that none of them have ever gone on, it's not like they've played into the finals like four straight years and they've played on Team USA every summer. For a lot of these guys, this is like the first time getting a chance to do something like this. So it's all good. It's all good, John.
I'm sure
this is how I know this is like the most off-season topic ever. We are debating about whether whether it will be productive for players to play on Team USA,
I know.
Or at least be in training camp for Team USA.
I know. I mean, I'm bringing up like things that people might say I love it. I love it. I like international basketball. I like players going and representing their country. I don't think it's a negative. I've seen people are telling me that it's pointless and, you know, some of the stars dropping out. It seems like it would be not everybody's top priority, but and it's not the Olympics. The Olympics get like all of the shine. And so this is the FIBA World Cup, or they used to call it the World Championships or whatever. So it's a different thing and people aren't really excited about it. But I think it's a cool experience. And I don't see any reason why they shouldn't do it. From the wear and tear argument, it's not like these guys are going to be sitting in rocking chairs for this month. They're all going to be working out. They'll all be ramping up their workouts. The only difference is they'll be playing against other teams that are probably more motivated to win. International basketball means a lot more to these other countries than it does to some of these professional players in the United States. So they might be playing with a little bit more intensity, which means some more elbows, some more shots, some more, you know, a little higher probability of some sort of injury or nagging thing. So I understand that from that perspective. But, you know, these guys are going to be out there playing 5-on-5 anyway. So I'm not really too concerned about something like that.
The most off-season really discussion of all time. Here it is.
What do you think?
Today marks our peak.
It's July. This is the July 23rd show. So that's where we are, Jay.
This is where we are. Team USA talk.
Team USA talk. Hey, you know what? We're lucky to have Team USA talk because otherwise we wouldn't have anything to talk about. So
that's true.
I'm like thankful that there's Team USA talk. That in August, when there's nothing to talk about, we'll actually have like stories coming out of Las Vegas with these guys who are Boston Celtics who are going to be playing. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back and see if we can squeeze more blood out of this rock. Stick around. We'll be right back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Some more Team USA talk, which I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but here we are. I think there are some people who are excited about this. It's going to be interesting to see how these games translate. I'm psyched to see Marcus Smart unleashed on the international field, which he's done before, but like we haven't seen him as an NBA player. The Celtics, Team USA begins their tournament in a group with Turkey, the Czech Republic, and Japan. And I pity those three countries for having to deal with Marcus Smart. This is where you chime in, Jay.
I didn't hear. I cut out for a little bit.
Marcus Smart playing basketball for Team USA against Turkey, the Czech Republic, and Japan.
He would just bully international guards. I need to see that. I kind of do need to see that.
I mean, right?
I need him to make the team, which is probably against all odds, just to see him play against, like Greek guards who
Greek? Why you gotta go? Why to go with the Greeks?
Because I decided to choose your people, and
we had the Czech Republic. Also, I laid the Czech Republic right out there in front of you.
I think that was kind of a racial comment. Like most Greeks are white dudes, and I want to see him matched up against like a 6'3" overmatched white dude. I think that there was a racial component to that. I'm not entirely sure what my own brain was thinking, but now that I break down my own quote,
sure,
I think there might have been, but
there might have been,
but yeah, Marcus Smart in international play, and he's done it before. He's won gold medal with the under 19 under 18 team. He might have won a couple gold medals with Aaron Gordon and Elfrid Payton back in the day. So this is not his maiden voyage to Team USA. He's also been on the select team before. I think pretty sure this is his first time being invited to the main training camp. Mm-hmm. So he appreciates it.
I hope
he's a guy who definitely appreciates stuff like that.
Yeah. And look, here's another thing. Here's another element to it. And not that it's the biggest thing, but for guys like Smart, even Kemba, winning gold medals and things like this, it counts towards your, like, when you talk about your legacy. Like your overall basketball resume is this is something that gets added to it. Like when people are talking about, and I'm not saying that, you know, these guys are going to be Hall of Famers, but like if you make a case, if you're making a case for somebody as a Hall of Famer, like the championships, the All-Stars, all of that stuff, but it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not just the NBA Hall of Fame. International stuff counts. So guys like Kemba, who are building a resume that may hope to be in consideration someday, this stuff is important. I think Kyle Lowry is a great example. I know he had the thumb surgery, so I don't expect him to play. I expect him to back out. But like somebody like him, who's been really, really good, but also has a reputation for, you know, his playoff reputation. Now that's been broken, he's got a championship. You get him like gold medals and stuff like that. Next thing you know, you start putting that resume together someday and you say, hey, maybe he is a Hall of Famer. And it's like a little thing that I think some of these guys might play into some of their decisions.
It's funny because I feel like international success should count towards other players' resumes, like Manu Ginobili, Fabrizio Oberto, Luis Scola. I feel like their gold medal, like their run,
yeah,
should count for everything. But USA players, it's like, yeah, they're going to win the gold medal if they're just on the team, you know?
Sure.
So, like, should that impact Tyson Chandler's Hall of Fame bid? I don't think so.
No. You know? No. But I think, like, I think you have to take it, like, case by case. Like,
yeah, it could. I guess he could swing, like, a borderline dude. And especially someone like Carmel. He's a Hall of Famer no matter what. But if he wasn't, his international resume would be like, okay, yeah, that dude just balls out in the Olympics every year.
A guy I had in mind while I was talking about that. Like, it solidifies him. It is. It's not like the be all end all thing. I mean, you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not, but like for some people who, and it does mean a lot more to international players. Like a guy like Manu Ginobili is a great example because all of that international success, it does mean something. And the NBA success, you're like, well, some people like, I don't know. Like the NBA numbers aren't particularly, you know, eye-popping. We know that he was an awesome player, but like the statistics aren't eye-popping. But then you add all of the Argentina stuff, like that stuff was just awesome. That takes him to a different level. So that definitely means something. But, you know, in something like this, again, it's not like top of mind, but when you add it in, you say, hey, look, this was the team. Kemba Walker was the best player on this team, and they won this world championship thing. They won this World Cup. That's a Team USA gold medal. That's just an added line. The more you can pad that resume, then who knows what the rest of his career looks like, but you line that stuff up now, you never know. Guy like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, young players, third, fourth year, they've got 10, 12 years ahead of them, theoretically. Start piling up some of these gold medals early on, maybe get some championships in there. Now you've got yourself a kind of a different conversation. So,
are we talking about Jason Tatum's Hall of Fame?
That's
resume
right.
Now?
That's right. It's July 23rd.
I love where this conversation is going.
I'm grasping, Jay. I'm looking for different things that make Team USA interesting. Other than, like, I just am interested in watching the basketball. It's going to be fun.
I think, too, there's a chance for a guy like Tatum. Like, if he goes out to Team USA camp and just kind of, I don't want to say dominates, but, like, plays really well, like, you may come back from that with a different type of confidence.
Sure.
Like, it's one thing to do it in the NBA. It's another thing, like, go to Team USA training camp and ball out. And I do think that some guys have taken a jump from going and measuring themselves up against guys like that and playing really well and realizing, like, okay, like I can be better in the NBA and I can do more than I even knew I could. So there's a chance for that. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I have no idea whether it will, but I do think that's a possibility when you get a really talented young guy who gets invited to a training camp like that.
I completely agree with that. And again, now you've got him in that situation. You've got him with a Hall of Fame coach, one of the best coaches in the game has ever seen. And, you know, you go out there, you do the things that he tells you, you dominate if you can. And you know what? You come out of it with him telling you, like, hey, man, great work. Or, like, all of that. Yeah, absolutely. That can add to your confidence. Now you're coming into a training camp against non-all-stars. Like, you're just the rest of your team. I mean, you just keep on.
With the expectation, too, that you're building a Hall of Fame career.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. As we've discussed, that we're now making the Hall of Fame case for Jason Tatum. So I agree that the confidence issue would be something that would benefit him. So, all right, we've exhausted this conversation. I think we did a great job exhausting this conversation. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we're going to play a little game having to do with birthdays. So stick around. We'll be right back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, Jay King, this was your idea. I know you saw a tweet. I didn't see the tweet. So why don't you set this up and tell people what the scenario is here that we're trying to do.
So this was one of my favorite tweets I've seen on Twitter this summer. It was like the perfect summer tweet. And so at Bucket Braun tweeted, "Someone has a gun to your head. The best NBA player born on your birthday has to drop 30 in order to save your life. Who y'all got?" And it's just such a great question, because some people are like, oh, yeah, I was born on Michael Jordan's birthday. And then others look at the list and it's pretty grim. It's pretty grim out there. So I love this question. I saw it pop onto my timeline a couple times before I searched my own birthday and learned that not a lot of great basketball players were born on August 22nd. But I've got faith in my guy, Andre Blatch, man.
Oh, God, Andre Blatch is your choice.
Andre Blatch. So there were some other players I'd rather have on my basketball team than Andre Blatch from August 22nd. But if you had to pick a guy and say, listen, man, I need you to get 30 tonight. Sure. And his only goal was to get you 30 points. I have complete faith, actually, in Andre Blatch. I'm assuming the coach would be on board with the plan to just save my life. And I am almost positive Andre Blatch would deliver me to safety. Like, he would get 30. If his only goal was to get me 30, Andre Blatch is getting me 30. It may be totally destructive to his team.
It doesn't matter. The win doesn't matter.
I'm moving on. I'm living another day.
No one has ever said the phrase, "I have complete faith in Andre Blatch." Like, you're the first person to ever say that.
No lie. I looked at the list. I was like, Andre Blatch, I'm saved. It's like if Deion Waiters was born on your birthday.
Sure. I mean, like, yeah, I mean,
like, you wouldn't want Deion Waiters to be your top scorer for your favorite team.
No.
But if you needed him to go get 30, I'm pretty confident Deion Waiters could go get you 30.
Sure. Well,
Jordan Crawford, too. Like, I'd be like, Jordan Crawford, go get me 30, bro.
I got you. You know, you're sitting there with the gun to your head. I see it. I see the rationale. I have a much better option for my birthday, which is July 24th, which is coming up on Wednesday. So, yay me. Karl Malone was born on my birthday, so I feel very confident that Karl Malone can go drop 30 without an issue. I have other choices. Not really. Who else was born on my birthday? Kyle Kuzma. I do not have complete faith in Kyle Kuzma, although he could possibly do it. Rick Fox. Rafer Alston. Nope. Carmelone. Carmelone's my choice.
I mean, Carmelone has to be your choice.
I mean, obviously Carmelone's my choice. I said he was my choice before. I mean, but like, I got no fun kind of like, you got the Andre Blatch thing, which is a fun conversation. I just say,
I think I trust Andre Blatch more than Carmelone in that circumstance.
Okay, sure. Sure.
Because if you told Andre Blatch you have to score 30, he'd be like, finally, finally, someone gets it.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Carmelone can go drop 30 without hesitation. He would elbow people in the head to do it.
Yeah. I mean, Carmelone's a pretty good choice. I mean, the man won MVP in the Jordan era, so I think he's a pretty good choice.
Yeah. So 14-time All-Star.
I'm still riding with Blatch, though.
You have complete faith in Andre Blatch, of course.
I really do. Like, I've never been more confident in Andre Blatch in my life.
I kind of wish I had a fun choice like that. I don't. Like, I have the obvious choice, which is, like, I can't even have fun with any of these other choices. I got no one else. The only other fun person here is Furkan Korkmaz, which, just because I like to say Furkan Korkmaz, that's the only thing. I got no other fun guy here.
So, yeah, that's tough. I'm sorry for you, honestly.
Yeah, I got Walt Bellamy, who played, like, back when basketball was invented, which probably, you know, considering the dynamic and my age, I probably should choose Walt Bellamy before I choose Karl Malone. But Walt Bellamy went out there and balled out, man. That dude, yeah. That dude averaged 20 points and 14 rebounds. He averaged 30 a game his rookie year. Happened to be
Walt could hoop.
He happened to be 1961, but it's all right. That's probably closer to my birthday than. Never mind. I'll just leave it at that. I have good, solid choices. You have a much more fun choice. And you have complete faith in Andre Blatch. So there. That's it. That's the podcast. When you turned on this podcast, did you expect Andre Blatch talk? I bet you did not. You're not going to get that from any other podcast. Good, solid Andre Blatch talk. No one's
and
gonna
Jason that. Tatum Hall of Fame talk.
Yep. I mean,
we really brought the goods today.
No one is dropping this kind of podcast on you. So you have to subscribe to get more of this in your whatever device that you use to get podcasts, on your phone, on your laptop, whatever. Subscribe, ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics, and give us a good review if there's a place for you to do that. Give us a 5-star rating if you can do that. And share the podcast, tell your friends, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packet, and J. King.